one way you can walk with the Lord. You got to be going His direction.
All right, come on now.
Amen. He said, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?"
Yeah, right.
Amen. If you decide you want to go to Tyler and I'm going to Corsicana, hey, we can't go together. Amen. You're going to walk with the Lord. You got to walk His way. Amen. But when you walk with the Lord, you walk in the light. The Bible said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. Ongoing action all of the time from all of our sins. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we're walking in light tonight? Amen. When you walk with Jesus, you're guaranteed to have good fellowship. Amen. Amen. Praise God. David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I like goodness and I like mercy. Amen. If you live for God, they're going to follow you. I said, if you'll live for God, they'll follow you. Goodness and mercy will follow you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that you're serving a mighty good God? Praise the Lord. When it was time to give an offering tonight, I just said, "God, you know what? I'm thankful I had something to give." Amen. I've been giving all week. I've had people coming and telling me hard luck stories and needing things. And amen. But I was thinking it sure is good to still have something to give God. Amen. He's a mighty good God, isn't He? Amen. I love Him. He's been good to me. I don't know about you, but the Lord sure has been good to me. Praise the Lord. I'm so very, very thankful to Him tonight. Amen. I could preach about a lot of things tonight that wouldn't really mean much to you. If I preached about alcoholism, I wouldn't touch too many people here tonight. Amen. You've already dealt with that. Amen. I heard about a preacher. He went to try out for a church in Kentucky. And he had to find something to preach about. So, boy, he just thought, well, I'll be on safe ground. And I'll preach about whiskey. After the service, the church board met with him and said, "Brother," said, "a third of this church makes their living distilling some of the best bourbon in Kentucky Hills." Well, he went back the next night and he said, "Well, I'll get away from whiskey then. I want this church real bad." So he preached against tobacco. And he said, "Well, brother, didn't you know that one third of this church makes their living growing the finest tobacco in the state of Kentucky?" Man, he's in trouble. He said, three strikes and I'm out. So he found some safe ground. In the next service, he preached about gambling and horse racing. And he was out. He said, "Because the other third grows racehorses for the Kentucky Derby." Amen. So he preached and he hit everybody in three services and he was out of there. Amen. But I'm going to preach about something tonight that's going to touch every life. I want to preach to you about the most common sin. The most common sin. There's one sin that everybody in this congregation struggles with. As a matter of fact, it's so subtle, some of you don't even know that it's a sin. But it's so common, we call it by a lot of names. But I'm going to call it tonight by its real name. As a matter of fact, it really is the original sin. No, it's not pride. It goes further than that. The original sin is selfishness. Now, I'm not talking about stinginess. Some people, when they think about selfishness, they just think about people that are stingy and don't give something. I'm not talking about stinginess. Stinginess is just one way that selfishness expresses itself. It's far more subtle than that. Selfish just simply means serving yourself. Thinking about yourself. And some people that think they don't think of themselves are more selfish than many others. It's so clever, selfishness is. The way it hides itself. I used to be a very shy person. I was very bashful, very backward. I grew up out in the country. I didn't see many people. We were 20 miles from town, so I just didn't see a lot of folks. And I didn't have opportunity to practice social skills outside my family. And you know the way you talk to your family, you don't talk to everybody like that. Especially when you have five big brothers. Amen. It wasn't always real civil. Amen. It was an exciting place to live. And I used to think probably that, you know, somebody that's real shy, you couldn't be selfish. But, you know, a whole lot of what caused my problem was I was selfish. I could only see myself. And I was afraid that somebody wouldn't like me. So why would I be afraid somebody wouldn't like me? Because I'm thinking of myself. You see. Did you get that? If you're consumed with how people are going to perceive you, who are you thinking of? Yourself. You see, that's what I mean by selfishness, is we think a lot of ourselves. We really do. Amen. We may not think we do, but we think of ourselves a whole lot. Do you know what causes most problems in marriage? Selfishness. You know what causes most problems on the job? Selfishness. You know what causes most problems in the church? Selfishness. You know what makes people quit church? Selfishness. It's the root cause of all sin. Every sin begins in selfishness. The reason that people do things wrong that they know they're not supposed to do is because they want to please themselves. Is that right? Hello? Are y'all still with me here? You look like a... have I already got you? Amen. That's the... For every sin that you can name tonight, the reason has its roots in selfishness. You doing what you want to do means more to you than doing what the Word of God says. Or even doing what you know is right. But you're just bound and determined, I'm going to do it my way. Do you ever hear anybody use this expression? Probably nobody here has, but I've heard people say, well, he made me mad. Huh? Well, how'd he do that? Because you were thinking of yourself. Well, he called me so-and-so. Well, does that make you so-and-so? Huh? He said I was stupid. Well, are you? If it's the truth, work on it. If it's not the truth, then why get upset? You know, we can get upset with somebody. I mean, get fighting mad with people just because they waved the wrong digit at us. Huh? What does that mean? Don't mean a thing. It doesn't mean anything. But if I'm thinking about myself, it means something. Right? If I'm thinking about myself, then it means something. So the most common sin of all sins is selfishness. Is selfishness. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. I was reading an article about a pastor's wife that went somewhere and somebody was treating her real bad, and she was getting offended. And this verse came to her. And the Lord said, if you're really a servant, you don't get upset, because your job's just to serve. It doesn't matter who you are, what your title is. If you're a servant, your job is to serve. You know what I've noticed about people? And I've made a conscious effort to not allow this happen to me. But the people that we generally treat the very worst, and this is just my observation, is the people that serve your food. At Texas Bible College, I watched students that went to the same classroom, prayed in the same prayer meetings, shouted in the same chapel services, sat in the same classes, but when it was lunchtime, and one side that were the people serving the food and the other side were people receiving the food, it was amazing how they treated those people that were serving their food. It was very different. I would ask you tonight, make a conscious effort. I went to McDonald's yesterday, which I don't normally do, but I did. I was in a hurry. So I went into McDonald's and I ordered my sandwich. It took 20 minutes to get it. And the poor little girl that was fuming and waiting and nervous finally said, sir, I appreciate you being patient. If that would have been me, I don't think I could have done that. Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, I'm not always that patient either. There have been a few times, I'm sorry to say this, but there have been a few times I have walked out. But I had already paid. So I thought I might as well just be patient. You ever heard of road rage? You know why people get mad? Selfishness. Boy, am I preaching to Brother Grissom tonight. I drove in Columbia long enough, it changed me forever, I'm sorry to say. It would have been better if I'd never driven there. Because I never have got out of my blood since I've been there. Amen. And anyway, selfishness. It's the most common sin that you deal with in your life. When you have arguments with your wife or your husband, you know why you argue? Because both of you think you're right and both of you want your way. Hello? Yeah, anybody ever had any, don't raise your hand, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but anybody ever had any squabbles at home? Disagreements? Do you know why you did? Huh? Because you're selfish. I heard about some preachers. They went to a preacher's meeting and somebody wrote a funny little song. Instead of singing, I saw the light. You know that song? Instead, they were singing, I proselyte, I proselyte. Amen. And you know what? All the preachers were laughing, but they would not look at one another. It was funny, but they couldn't look one another in the eye. And that was the funniest thing of all. It's amazing, this selfishness thing that we constantly have to deal with. Jesus said, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he shall humble himself shall be exalted. You will see, he said, if you take the low road, I'll lift you high. But if you take the high road, I'll bring you down. Amen. So you see, do we really trust the Lord? Well, boy, I'm not going to let anybody make a doormat out of me. Huh? You know what that's rooted in? Yeah, you got it. Selfishness. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, and he said unto them all. Everybody say all. Didn't leave anybody out. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Everybody say, deny himself. You cannot take up a cross until you deny yourself. It's not easy, is it, folks? It's not easy. We need lots of practice doing that. I said, we have to practice that. It's not an easy thing to do. Amen. But we have to determine early on that I'm not going to let selfishness rule my life. Amen. Jesus said, he that would be greatest among you, let him be what? Servant of all. Amen. That's one of the paradoxical things of the kingdom, is that the way up is down. Amen. Service, service, service. Amen. Praise God. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. Amen. Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Amen. You see, it starts right here, doesn't it? It starts right here. Now, the fact of the matter is, all of us start out being selfish. One of the first things you have to teach a child. Huh? What's one of the first things you got to teach? You got to teach them to share. Because everything is mine! It's all about me. And it always has been. Since a little darling came into this world, wrinkled, prune face. Everybody tell him how cute he was. How lovely, how precious, how sweet, how wonderful. You know all those things are not true. Amen. What makes you say such stuff? It must be love. It's gotta be, right? You're seeing how lovely they are and how wonderful they are, and they're screaming and crying, and somebody else is saying, I wish you'd shut that brat up. Find an off button somewhere. But you see, we start out like that, don't we? I mean, really, because what happens? They get hungry. Yeah! They don't care if you're sleeping. They don't care what you're doing. You stop what you're doing and feed me, and I want it now. And if it's not what I want, I'll spit it all over you.
That's
huh? And they leak. You get that fixed. Put some new seat covers on. They don't last long. Amen. And but that's just the way. They're so stinking selfish. Amen. And that's every one of us. That's every one of us. Some just never grow out of it very well. Yeah. Amen. Brother Hart, we've got to learn how to deny ourselves. We've got to learn how to deny ourselves. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, every one of us affect those around us. Somebody said, well, I'm not important here. Yes, you are. Because you're part of this body. Hello? Is there any part of this body that doesn't affect the rest of it? I hadn't found one yet. I mean, I got some parts inside. I don't even know what they are. But if one of them gets out of tune, It makes the whole body feel bad. And you got to go to somebody, like, do a CAT scan and find out if you got any cats or hairballs, something. Get it fixed. I mean, this body's important, folks. And it's not only the parts you can see. Every part of it's vital. Could I remind you that Jesus Christ put you into the body? You did not put yourself into the body. Amen. And everything that I do and everything that you do affects the body. It's just that way. Amen. Because we are a body. Amen. So we don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. What I say affects you. What you say affects me. Do you remember somebody telling you when you were a little kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's one of the biggest lies you ever taught in your life. Everybody here, you've been wounded far deeper with words than anything that's ever come your way. Because words mean something. Especially when we're selfish. I said, especially when we're selfish. Amen. Well, we come about naturally. Amen. We try to prepare our children. Try to teach them and put some self-esteem in them. Make them feel good. I read somewhere the other day that I thought was a tremendous illustration. You know, there's a big difference in a cheerleader and a coach. Too many parents try to be cheerleaders. All they want to do is rah, 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 sis, boom, bye. That's just encourage their kids. You're lovely, you're wonderful, you're smart, you're the best. Ain't nobody like you in the whole world. Selfish, 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 selfish. Self, 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 self. And then they grow up, and what are they? Selfish. But you know what a coach does? A coach not only knows what your strengths are, he knows what your weaknesses are. And he doesn't hide from them. Right? He tries to strengthen where the weaknesses are. And then he tries to build the strengths that you have. And that's the difference in a coach and a cheerleader. Amen. We're living in a time when a lot of folks want a cheerleader for a pastor. Just tell me how good I am. Just tell me how wonderful I am. Just tell me how successful I am. Just tell me how gloriously I'm doing. Just tell me, 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 me. It's all about me. Amen. But what you need is a coach. Somebody will call you aside and say, you know, that last catch there, you should have had that. You should have had that. But coach, I caught 10 before I dropped one. Yeah, but you should have had that one. That one could lose us a championship. Told you about Joe that was running, and I mean, nobody could touch him. He was on the final leg of the race, and he just quit because he was selfish. He didn't think about those young men, and I was one of them, that had run before him and put everything we had into it till our lungs were burning and our muscles were aching and just giving it all you got, and then somebody just quit because they're tired. Amen. Selfishness. We got to watch it. It's the most common sin that Christians deal with in their lives. Romans 14, 12. So then let every one of us give account of himself. Let me start over. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know who's going to give account to God? You are. And your excuse is not going to count over there. Said, your excuses are not going to count over there. Amen. I hope this is all right because it's what the Lord gave me. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Instead of spending time judging your brother, he said, you take time looking out for yourself that you don't become a stumbling block to your brother or your sister. And if we want to put it in a positive way, just make sure that you're a good example to your brother and your sister. Concentrate more on your doing right and doing the will of God and being righteous than you do on their mistakes. You've heard it said, some people come to church with a rake and some people come to church with a pitchfork. I want to be the rake variety myself. I want to say, oh, that's good. Let me have some of that. Ah, that's good. Say it again. Oh, I like that, brother. That's really helping me. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That's a rake mentality. And then we got the pitchfork variety. Sitting there, oh, brother so-and-so needed that. Woo. And sister so-and-so, my, she sure did need that. And so you feed them and you go out starved to death. Didn't get anything for yourself because you was too busy feeding everybody else. That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. Don't be a stumbling block. Work on being a good example. Work on being a Christian. Amen. And then in Isaiah, and I'll try to get on here, get through with this. Right in the middle of a discourse with the king, the prophet all of a sudden begins to speak prophetically about the devil before he was the devil. And in Isaiah 14:12, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, wouldst thou weaken the nations? Now listen to this, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, had I trouble, didn't he? It's all about me. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Selfish. Selfish. All about self. Jesus used this illustration of the man in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. He gave us a parable about a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. Everybody say, the ground brought forth. He didn't. The ground did. Whose ground was it? Whose seed was it? Who sent the rain? Who gave the right conditions? You see, but he was saying, now listen to what he said. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherein to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See? What's the problem here? Selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about me. Now, you know, this affects preachers as well. This affects everybody. When I was very young, I preached a sermon in a church that I did not deserve to preach in, but the pastor was very kind and allowed me to preach there anyway. And I mean to tell you, that was among the worst sermons I've ever preached. And I was feeling so bad. Poor me. Poor me. I, myself. I didn't preach well. I didn't do good. I, me. And you know what God was doing while I was having a pity party? Filling 8 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what he was trying to say, Johnny Grissom, it's not about you. If I can speak through a donkey, I don't have any problem talking through you. And you know what that taught me? It's not about the preacher. And you know what I try to tell young preachers? It ain't about you. Amen. One of the things the devil will try to do when it comes to altar service, he'll do his very best if he can get your eyes on you and you get eye-grown-itis, in-ball-itis, ingrown eyeballs, and you start looking at yourself. Poor me. I didn't do good tonight. Nobody shouted when I preached. 2 or 3 were sleeping. Well, you're lucky. Amen. Praise God. And so you got this big problem. You're thinking about yourself and the Holy Ghost is trying to save somebody. So you see how selfishness affects every area of the realm. I've heard people get up and sing and get almost mad because people didn't stand up and clap while they were singing. You know why they felt that way? Because they're selfish. And they're thinking about themselves. When I get up, you're supposed to move. You're supposed to shout. Hey, man, you're sitting there like a bunch of knots on a log and bumps on a pickle and bumps on a frog. You've all heard that, huh? Hey, man. Well, it's not about you. It's not about you. Amen. You see how selfishness works? Boy, aren't we full of it? Every one of us, we have to deal with this every day. Amen. We have to deal with it constantly. Amen. But it's not. It's I, me, myself. Let one more example here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, let me notice something that is called God. It's impossible to exalt yourself above God. But you can exalt yourself above what is called God. And that's what he does. Or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. So I don't think it's going to be too long, and he's going to set himself up in there, and he's going to say, worship me, I'm God. Selfishness. We all deal with it. But we see where its roots and its origin is. It started in Satan. Got into him. Son of the morning, Lucifer. Amen. Prince, great angel. But selfishness got into him. And he decided, you know what? People ought to be singing to me like that. People ought to be praising me like that. Huh? I'm so powerful, I'm going to build my throne above the throne of God. I'm going to get greater than God is. That's what selfishness does. It makes you think more of yourself than you really are. Amen. Let me give you a hint. If you ever have to tell somebody, do you know who I am? Well, just know what that is. That's selfishness. Do you know who you're talking to? Yeah, I'm talking to a glorified mud ball. Just like me. Amen. You put your britches on one leg at a time just like I do. Amen. Amen. You have to take showers or you'll stink too. All of us. We're just made out of the same mud. Some of us God chose to fill with His Holy Spirit. Praise His holy name. Amen. But selfishness, it's real. It's genuine, folks. We have to deal with this. We have to deal with this. Amen. I'm going to try to close here real quickly. James chapter 1, verse 2, or verse 22 to verse 27. He said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was." He sees himself, but he really doesn't see himself. Amen. He doesn't do anything to change the imperfections. He just goes his way. "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man will be blessed in his deed. Well, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Did you get that? You know, one of the hardest things we have to deal with is this little red devil behind the pearly white gates. He causes us a world of trouble. Most of our problems in life come from either something we say or something somebody else says to us. Is that right? Most problems. There have been wars and hundreds of thousands and millions of people killed because of a tongue. There have been people that have been hurt that left churches. Again, they shouldn't have left. They shouldn't have left. But they did, because two people were selfish. One that spoke and one that heard. We got to get out of living in this selfishness. Amen. It's important. Amen. So no matter how much you talk in tongues, how high you jump, how fast you run, how much you shout, how well you sing, how well you preach, he said, if we don't bridle our tongue, he said, our religion is vain. Some powerful stuff, isn't it? Hey, folks, I'm giving you some big shoes to step into here tonight. I'm giving me some big shoes to step into here tonight. I'm talking about the most common sin. Everybody has a problem with it. All of us. Not just one or two. Philippians chapter 3. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Here we go. Strife or vainglory. You know what that's telling me? Number one, church is not a competition. Let me say that again. Church is not a competition. But you know what? Competition can get in the church. Well, you know, I think I ought to be singing on Sunday night. You ought to use me when there's lots of people here. And down in your heart, you know, I'm really better than so-and-so. Right? Is that okay? Yeah. You know, so-and-so, you know... Well, you know, I don't feel too good because I didn't preach as good as Brother so-and-so did the other night. Oh? Did you preach what the Lord gave you? Did you prepare? Did you pray? It's not a competition. It's not a competition. Well, you know, I don't really like to come to church when Brother so-and-so's preaching. Woo! Glory. Or how about just coming whenever you get to sing? Or you get to play? Or you get to preach? Or you get to do something? And if you ain't doing something, you don't come. Woo! Glory. Amen. There's no competition. There's no strife. Not supposed to be strife. Amen. Not supposed to be strife. Amen. He said, "Her vainglory, pride, pride." You know, this song really shows how well I sing. Yeah. One little Bible college student got up to sing and got his tang tangled up a little bit, and he said, "He said, y'all worship me while I sing." Now there are folks that won't say that, but that's really what they mean. Amen. As one well-known preacher, and every time he gets ready to come out, guess what they play? "How Great Thou Art." I'm not real sure what they're singing about. But anyway, vain glory. Amen. He said, no vain glory. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Here you go. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Bible talks about preferring your brother. Now that just doesn't mean when you're cleaning the bathrooms.
Yeah. Come on, Elder. Yeah.
Sometimes we use that verse very selectively. Amen. So I'm talking about how to deal with selfishness. You deal with it by, and you can't do this without the Holy Ghost. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again right here. There's a difference in humility and inferiority. Inferiority really is based in selfishness. It's thinking about itself. Everybody's better than me. Poor me. I'm not as good as so-and-so. Poor me. Me, 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 me. You see, that's inferiority. That's not humility. Humility is just don't think about itself. It thinks about others. How can I help my brother? How can I encourage my sister? What can I do to help you? How can I bless you? It's not about me. It's about you. It's about him. But I serve him through you. How I serve my brothers and sisters is how I serve Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, this is how we conquer this selfishness thing. Amen. Lowliness of mind. Again, that's not thinking that you're nothing and you're nobody. That's an insult to God because he made you.
Right. Amen.
He made you. And he made you special. And he made you like no one else in this world. Amen. You're special to him. Amen. But lowliness of mind is not thinking that you're less than everybody else. Amen. You just think, well, how can I bless? How can I help? How can I encourage? What can I do to strengthen my brothers and my sisters? Now, here's verse 4. It's not my glasses, it's my brain. You can fix glasses, you know. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. Again, that's about selfishness. Now, that doesn't mean greedily and enviously looking at what somebody else has. Amen. But in true judgment. Amen. Praise God. I think we ought to be thankful for what we have. Even if it's not as good as what somebody else has. Amen. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for what God's given me in life. Amen. And I say this truthfully. And I don't say this with anything other than just an illustration. But you know, when we traveled on deputation, we traveled to probably 600 different churches. And you know, I don't remember seeing anybody that lived in a house that was more humble than the house that I lived in before I went to missions. Not one. But you know what? I was thankful for that little house. Amen. Praise God. Sister McGee, I'm thankful that your cousin and you found me a $750 house. And I'm happy about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's great. That good? Amen. And you know what? If you get a $550,000 house, hope you can pay taxes. If you can't, just sell it and pay your tithes and we'll all be blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, but if you got a house tomorrow that was worth $150,000, I'd just shout with you. Amen. Praise God. Because you see, it's not about who's doing better and who's got more. And that's the world. That's selfish. The world says, you know, he that dies with the most toys wins. Really? How's that? You're dead. And you don't take it with you. That's a stupid way to look at life. Amen. I'm laying up treasures. Amen. Where the moth does not eat and the rust does not destroy and decay. Amen. You see, I'm putting up some treasure here tonight. All right, so let me hurry on. I keep saying that, but I am trying. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he didn't count it to be a great thing. He didn't go around boasting, did he? He didn't go around boasting, well, I'm the Son of God. You better listen to what I say. I'll fry you right here on the spot. Huh? No, he didn't do that. He walked in humility. He walked in humility. He allowed people to revile him and talk about him and do things to him. He didn't allow them to stone him. But he did let them crucify him when the time came. You see, though he was God manifest in flesh, he didn't go around rubbing people's faces in it. Amen. All right. And then, but he made himself of no reputation. Now, he did have a reputation. He had a good one, he had a bad one. He had a good reputation to those people that loved him, and he had a bad reputation to the folks that rejected him. They called him a wine bibber, and they called him a son of Satan, and they called him all kinds of names. Hear me today. You're going to have two reputations. People that like you, you're going to have one reputation. People don't like you, you're going to have another reputation. But it's okay. You can't do anything about that. You cannot do much about reputation, but you can do something about character. Character is who you are. And if you'll take care of your character, your reputation will take care of itself. Amen. Right? Okay. Amen. He made of himself no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a, here it is, servant. And was made in the likeness of men, being fashioned, found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Now, it's a lot better to humble yourself than to have God humble you. When God humbles you, it's tough. But if you humble yourself, it's so much better. Jesus said it's the difference in falling on the rock and being broken or letting the rock fall on you. And I don't know about you, but I'd a whole lot rather fall on a Petra than to have a Petra fall on me and grind me to powder. That's the difference in humbling yourself and God having to humble you. Amen. All right. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became, here's the main word, obedient. Everybody say, obedient. That's the greatest key to servanthood. And to serving God is just to be obedient. If we can be obedient, then we can successfully serve God. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Closing with John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Isn't it great to be called the sons of God? But did you know there's something better? The next verse says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It's wonderful to be called a son of God, but it's better to be a son of God. It's one thing to be called a child of God, but it's better to be a child of God. He said, now are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know what we're trying to do in this life? Be like him. Be like him. Not selfish, but humble. Genuinely humble. Amen. That's our goal. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. Folks, we got to work on this selfish thing. Amen. We got to really work on this selfish thing. Anybody really feel what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. Praise God. I don't want to hide my head in the sand. I want to genuinely work on doing this. And I want all of us to really work on it. You see, I can't work on it for you. You have to work on it for yourself. I can only work on me. And I promise I'm going to. I'm going to try. Amen. I really am. I'm working on it. I'm trying. I started carrying a book in my car. Something so that when I get to the red light downtown, I hate those red lights. And I'm working on that, you see, because that's selfish of me. That's selfish of me to get all that worked up about something so stupid. So you know what? If I can just get me some flashcards with some scriptures on it, I can be memorizing scriptures while the light's going on, right? And I'm using my time, no sense getting frustrated about it. Is that right? See, that's how you work on selfishness. You find something. Amen. Praise God. All right. A man and a wife worked out a system so that they could have peace in their home. The woman said, if you come home and open the door, and I've got my apron on backwards, you know that I had a bad day and I need some extra love and understanding. And he said, I'll do that, honey. He said, and if I come home and I've got my cap on sideways, he said, you know, I've had a bad day and I just need some extra understanding and some TLC. And so everything went well until he came home and his hat was sideways. And she opened the door, and her apron was on backwards. Then they had a problem. Amen. Cause of selfishness. Let's stand together. Amen. We got to work on this selfishness thing, folks. It gives us more trouble. Oh, we talk about the devil giving us trouble. He don't give you near as much trouble as selfishness does. Selfishness is our greatest enemy. It's our greatest enemy. As a matter of fact, the devil has no power over you except what you permit him to have. All he can do is plant a thought in your head. That's the most he can do. That's all he can do. The idea that the devil makes me do something, he don't have the ability. God gave you a will. And God himself will not violate that will. I said, God himself will not violate your will. And he won't let the devil do it either. Amen. So you see, the devil has a vote. God has a vote. And I have a vote. And I cast the deciding ballot. If I vote with God, I do right. If I vote with devil, I do wrong. It's just that simple. Amen. Who are you going to vote for today? Amen. Every time I vote for myself, generally, I lose. Amen. Watch out for selfishness. We battle it every day. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Everybody pray right now. Jesus, please help us to be conscious of selfishness in our relationships, at home, with our wife, our husband, our children, our brothers and sisters in the church, our co-workers on the job, our neighbors, our friends, our classmates. Help us, God, to be mindful. They're mindful. And whenever I realize that I'm being selfish, talk to me and give me the courage and the strength and the grace to give in and not maintain my position to the point of bringing hurt to someone else. Help me to be quick to apologize. Help me to be quick to forgive. Amen. I can carry hurts and wounds and scars and bruises for years. Or I can simply forgive, and at that very moment they'll begin to heal. Lord, help me not to be selfish. Teach me. I desperately need you. I'm covered with this flesh. But I don't want to use that as an excuse. You didn't. Amen. You lived in a body like mine, and yet you lived victoriously. You gave me the same Holy Ghost that was in you and that you are. And you are in us tonight. Help us to be mindful. Help us to be obedient. Help us to listen to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth alone. To be like Him. All through life's journey, from this earth to glory, I only ask, oh yes, Lord, to be like Him.